Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Thank you for joining me again on another episode of FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach. In today's episode we have lined up today is a little bit different. We wanted to highlight a certain program that was awarded for some undergrads over at Stanford. And one of the names you're going to probably recognize is Eloise Hoffman. And then her cohort, I guess you could say, is Alice Finkelstein. And they both come on this episode to talk about their $50,000 undergrad award to help fund FSHD therapy. Yeah, that's right. You heard me correct. That's the dollar amount. They talk about the brainstorming process, how they went through this. They had to give a presentation over this, and it was only 10 minutes. Like, talk about an elevator pitch with FSHD, right? They nailed it. They win it, and it is quite an interesting conversation. What I love about this is another generation, younger generation coming up. This is on their radar. I ask even Alice a little bit, like, why FSHD? And she talks about that. I mean, we know why. Eloise says why. She has the disease. And she's been a real, I don't like to use the word rock star, but that kind of persona. She's done so much for the FSHD community already as her young age. And the fact that she's taking her educational life and attacking FSHD. She's fascinated with all the bioscience of FSHD, and she's taking that interest and knowledge and attacking something that can actually help not just herself, but our community. So I love walking through what that process was about. I'm not a scientist. I'm not even close to going to Stanford smart enough for that, of course. But to have people on the show to share this, this is good news for our community. People in our community making a difference, bringing people outside of the community to help make a difference is key. So I hope you enjoy this episode and really learn about this project and what it can do for our community. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Eloise and Alice. So as promised, we have a great interview here with Eloise Hoffman and Alice Finkelstein here. This has been kind of talked about quite a bit in the FSHD community, this project that you both have been a part of. You had to give a pitch. Lots of kind of unpack. So, I mean, it's a really cool project story, et cetera, which I don't know enough about, which is why you guys are here to kind of talk about it. And, like, I guess, how did it all start with what we're talking about today with this Stanford project?
Mm-hmm. So I guess it goes back to last summer, or really the winter before, because that's when we were getting chosen for Stanford's iGEM team. iGEM is International Genetically Engineered Machine, and it's basically a worldwide competition where different teams from universities and even high schools basically present their own genetic engineering projects. And it's something that we work on over the course of a year. In our case, it was mainly over the summer. And then they present it at the Grand Jamboree in Paris. And basically, Stanford has an initiative of iGEM through which we were all selected to be a team. And we all ended up focusing on this FSHD project idea. And Eloise, do you want to introduce it?
Yeah. So the beginnings of this project really date back to, as Alice mentioned, like about almost a year and a half ago, when we selected this project as our iGEM idea. And it was, as a patient myself, it was a project that I felt I had a very personal connection to, but it really became the team's project throughout the course of the past year. And it was such an exciting opportunity to get funding and infrastructure and such stellar mentorship to be able to make our idea, our project idea, from a seed into reality. And it's been such an empowering experience for me to get to work on it and really take back control of this disease, and for the whole team to get to be part of it too. And then getting to raise awareness about FSHD on the international stage at the Jamboree that Alice mentioned in Paris in the fall was an amazing opportunity as well. And now that our support through the iGEM program at Stanford is kind of like rolling over to the next generation of iGEMers. We are continuing to push the project forward, which has been really exciting as well.
So then this project lives on then to the next like team, so to speak, or the next season or year? How does that work?
Yeah, so the iGEM team actually chooses their own project every year. So we're actually continuing the project separately from iGEM right now. But we can talk a little bit about that too. After the summer ended, we were looking to continue the project, and Stanford has so many different opportunities. And one of them is the Undergraduate Entrepreneurship Program by Serafan Kemhage. And so basically through that, teams are able to present their idea as like more of a pitch and basically win funding for continuing the project if they get chosen. And so that was a lot of like presenting and learning different ways to kind of make our idea more something that we would want to form as a longer term project. And that's what we've been working on, because we ended up being able to acquire the funding through that competition. And now we're pushing the project further.
So what kind of funding did you receive for this?
So through the program that Alice mentioned, we were able to acquire a $50,000 grant to push this project forward, which was such an amazing opportunity. I mean, I'm sure we would have found a way if not through this program to continue working on this project, given its importance and relevance. But acquiring this funding also came with a lot of resources and support. And so we are really grateful that for this opportunity, and also for the fact that we're now able to really push this project forward with these great resources. So
what makes this project different than other research to FSHD of treatments and studies on the disease and so forth? What makes this different?
Yeah, we can comment a little bit on the kind of scientific basis behind this research. So if you're listening to this right now, you've probably heard a couple of times that DUX4 is the bad gene or the bad protein at the root of FSHD. So what this DUX4 protein does is DUX4 should be silenced in healthy people, but in people with FSHD, because of a mutation, this bad protein DUX4 gets expressed, turns on a lot of other genes that then lead to muscle death. And that's kind of the molecular basis for FSHD. Our research focuses around delivering an almost competitor to the bad DUX4 protein, which is kind of disguised as DUX4 by utilizing the same domain that binds to DNA and binds to certain genes that are the DNA targets of DUX4, and basically outcompeting and preventing the bad toxic full-length DUX4 from binding at those sites and causing the pathogenic mechanism at the root of FSHD. And so to get kind of into the weeds about what kind of sets this approach apart from all of the other really great and exciting research that's going on, is that this protein, is this construct and therapeutic construct that we're trying to develop, is composed of entirely human proteins, which from a molecular level has the potential to potentially minimize immunogenic response in the body when it's introduced in the full human system. And it also stops the pathogenic activity of DUX4 at its root. So stops the pathogenic activity of DUX4, therefore intervening with the molecular pathway of FSHD at its root, which is really exciting. And I think also as a patient scientist, it's been a really empowering opportunity to get to incorporate the patient perspective into research. And through iGEM over the last summer, maybe some of you listening here know about this already, but we were able to conduct patient interviews with members of the FSHD Society and the FSHD community, which I think was a really empowering experience for the whole team to get to see who this affects. And so I think incorporating patient perspectives into the scientific pipeline for FSHD is so crucial, which is also kind of something that sets this project as a whole apart from sometimes, science can feel like it's siloed off from the people that it's actually going to impact.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like cells in a dish, so to speak. Right. So the, but it's people. It's people, and the fact that you're a person that has the disease, Eloise, and obviously that's the natural connection of why you want to attack this disease or work on this project. Alice, kind of what was then your motivation? Was this just something that kind of lined in to something that intrigued you as well?
Yes. So basically through iGEM, we ended up focusing, like the entire team was focusing on this project, but instantly almost, I feel like I was just captured by Eloise's passion to the project and dedication. And basically it made me look forward to the lab every day, and being able to work on something so meaningful and also interact with patients really just enabled me to kind of dedicate my all to the project. And I've definitely become extremely interested, but also just motivated to continue this effort and work on it, because it seems as though there's just so many, like so much potential for innovation, and that we're right on the brink of something. And that really is what drives me every day.
Nice. That was a great answer. So Eloise kind of energized you, so to speak. I think she has that tendency to do that with people.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I've kind of witnessed that firsthand. Yeah, and that's something that is amazing. It's definitely putting your money where your mouth is, right? Just to complain about the disease is one thing, like I like to do, or get people to talk about it and this is all fine and good. But the fact that you're taking your expertise, your, I mean, not everybody can understand the disease at the level you both are starting to understand it. Like, this is way over my head, of course, which is why you both are here. And why I asked, yeah, okay, how does this work? And like, what's the science behind it? And, you know, what were the comparisons? What else is going on? So then what do you hope this leads to? Because here you get the funding. You say the project goes beyond the pitch and all of what happened prior to get you to this point. So then what's the next steps?
Yeah, big question. So we're so lucky right now that we're at a point where the FSHD space is moving at breakneck speed. We've built up so much momentum over the past years. You know, 30 years ago, scientists barely or were just starting to understand what gene was causing the disease. Like, we didn't even know what the cause of the disease was. Now we not only know what the cause of the disease is, but we know how to stop it. And we have acquired so much momentum to actually get to a point where we're going to have an FDA approved drug soon. And so I just want to preface with that overall the field has just moved with breakneck speed. And I think in large part due to the advocacy efforts of the community and raising awareness about what this disease does and why we need to fix it. And so I think the goal for this project is definitely to add another option to that bucket of treatments that might become available. As Alice mentioned, I think we're really on the brink of something, and this could have a real impact. And so if the data, you know, we're still in the early stages of experiments, but if the data continues to look this strong, you can count on us to do all that we can to actually push this to the finish line. But overall, the field is just looking so exciting. So I'm really looking forward to what's ahead.
You mentioned then taking a competitive, to steal your word, protein, right? Kind of to, I guess, fight the ducks for protein. So then how does that look like, do you think, as a, and this either either one of you could answer this perhaps, but how does it look like then, do you think then as a treatment, like what would that ideally look like for people?
We're currently looking into it being an AAV delivery. And so it would be more of, we're hoping that it would be like a one-time injection, but also this is just our preliminary idea, and the field is rapidly changing and coming up with different ways to efficiently deliver constructs into the muscle. And so that's our current idea, but could change.
Yeah, exactly. With any gene therapy, there are kind of two sides to the coin. What's the actual construct or the drug that you're trying to deliver? And then how are you going to deliver it and get it where you need it to go. So right now we're focused on, you know, what the actual construct is, what that protein is, and what will come down the line is actually like refining and optimizing how it gets delivered. But it, because we are thinking about this in the long term, it is something that we've been starting to think about. And as Alice mentioned, AAV, which are a form of like a viral vector derived from viruses. But they have been shown to be generally safe and effective. And of course, any drug using these viral vectors would have to undergo rigorous testing to ensure safe and effective delivery. And that kind of feeds into another advantage of our approach, is that these viral vectors are actually really good at infiltrating cells and dumping gene therapies in there. But they have like a pretty small capacity. Like you can't fit huge constructs into these little viruses. But our protein is actually like small enough that it would fit really nicely in this package and be able to be theoretically delivered really easily into muscle if we're able to target it right. So yeah, very exciting potential for a one-time treatment. But of course, a lot of research needs to happen before we get to that point.
Right. I mean, this is kind of where we are now, and it's not necessarily wishful thinking because it's science, right? And you'll just pivot as it kind of shows you, right? As your research takes you to certain directions that maybe you thought you'd never go. It's just always exciting because I always try to get into the minds of the person listening, right? And they want to hear, well, how quick is this going to happen? And like, how promising really is this? And I know we can't promise, you know, cures, treatments, et cetera, but this does sound promising, which is a big difference, of course. So we're looking at, that's how the delivery system is through that virus vector. I've heard that kind of term before. Makes sense to me, right? In order for your body to kind of accept that, so it gets in there. That sounds good. Now, is that going to be something that can be even used with patients that have FSHD at a very young age, like the early onset, like under 18 years old? Is it going to be able to help that community, do you think?
Yeah. So I have a very personal connection mm-hmm. to the early onset community. I mean, some of the, you know, I've met some wonderful parents who are working with the early onset chapter, and I was diagnosed at 13. So if a treatment was kind of out on the market at the time where I was diagnosed, I wouldn't have been able to take it for 5 years. And that's, you know, what anyone living with FSHD under the age of 18 is kind of facing at this moment, especially at this really exciting time when we are on the brink of a treatment. And so there's kind of two sides to it, is, you know, the scientific side of, is it safe to deliver this to children, and the regulatory side of like, would it be approved for children? I don't think we can comment on like this, the scientific safety side, because we just, you know, we haven't done that research. I don't think we are trained enough in the world of viral vectors to say affirmatively one way or another. But I can say that before being approved, the FDA would make this drug, just like any other drug, undergo very rigorous safety testing. In terms of the regulatory side, we can't make any promises as well, because, you know, this is a huge behemoth that we're facing. But it's really important, at least to me, to advocate very strongly and to continue partnering with the early onset community to make sure that we're standing up for everyone with FSHD, not just the people who fit within a certain age range, or the ambulatory, or the people who fit certain exclusion or inclusion criteria, because, you know, this community is one with such unique strength and unity, and we can't let anyone get left behind. We're right. All in this together, and we've all been advocating for the past decades and for this disease. And it's just there. I don't see a world in which it's fair. And I don't see a world where we can call it a win to get a drug approved if it doesn't include everyone. So
for sure. Yeah. And the fact that it's on your mind, right? You've lived through that. You've met the people as well that are in that same space, and we don't want to leave them behind. So that's why I had to bring it up, because I know there'll be people listening like, okay, so I have a child then with this. And I think where it stands now, that's a great place, that it is obviously part of the initiative, it sounds like, right? We want everybody included. That's a lot of your push. That's a lot of your goals. So what's then the next hurdle that you foresee? Like, what's that next hurdle or step?
I think as of now, we're trying to move, I guess, are testing further and basically show like further validity. And so that has to be taken in different steps. Right now we're working on packaging the protein that we were mentioning into the viruses and then using that for downstream assays. But all of it takes time and involves a lot of different steps that we didn't even foresee when we were.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think something that I've realized, and I'm sure you have realized too, like as we get more and more involved in research, is that these things take a lot of time and a lot of effort. We're also kind of in the stages right now of optimizing the ideal construct so that we make sure that we really have the best, that we make the best drug out there. And even just the process of like creating the DNA sequences that encode for our constructs takes, you know, a couple of weeks. And just this morning, like one of like the creating the sequences fails, and then you have to like think about why it failed and try doing it again, which sets you back. So there's definitely a lot of frustration in the process when things don't go right. And I actually just came from the lab as well, from cells all dying and taking too long to grow. So there are always a lot of setbacks in science that you can't predict, because you know, you get everything ready to run your experiment and then you realize, oh, your cells all died, so you have to start over. And that's just, you know, how science works. But to me, it's sort of like part of, and I mean, I feel a very strong sense of urgency. Like I'm like, we want to get this done as soon as possible. But at the same time, it's kind of fun to have these challenges and to think about, you know, what went wrong, how can we make it better? And so I think to anyone in the audience thinking, you know, why is it taking so long to actually get this done and get a drug on the market? These things take a lot of time, but people, scientists are in the lab, you know, day in, day out, much past your typical 40-hour work week, driven by this passion to get these treatments out there. So
absolutely. Yeah, it takes a lot, right? A lot of energy. And I know people also have to sleep and you have to eat and you have to do all those other things too. So, and maybe have some fun once in a while. So you got to have the pause and the breaks within the studies and the hard work that you're doing. But the fact that you're another group that is working at it is fantastic. You know, to have that much attention drawn to this disease where there wasn't so much not that long ago, as you mentioned, is huge. And I hope that everybody kind of understands that. And I think that's the whole purpose of having you guys here today, is like, here's yet another, you know, pathway to hopefully a treatment. And to me, it has to be said too, like you're the young generation of FSHD fighters, right? I mean, it's good that it's that in a way it is passed. It's on your radar. Someone that is in the hunt, not as old as like someone like myself, that, you know, that to me means a lot too, that it's being passed to a whole other generation that's attacking it as well. Is huge. So then where do you guys see this, or where do you see yourselves in, like, let's say a year from now?
I mean, I guess nobody knows what happens in a year. I think our current, or like for me, we can each talk about it. But we're planning on working on this project and really fleshing it out as much as possible. We're kind of just seeing where the data will take us. So that will be like our guiding principle, but we're both still continuing our undergraduate studies. And so we're learning so much about the things that we're doing in the lab and also what that means and their implications. So just continuing the research.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, I think it's really important to be data driven above all else, because I think especially with the personal connection, it's really easy to get excited about initial promising data. But we all know what can happen if you kind of take that one step too far. So I want to make sure that, you know, for the sake of everyone in the community, I want to make sure that whatever we do is driven by both science and urgency. So in a year, as Alice mentioned, who knows where the project will be? Maybe all of the cells will cooperate and we'll get really lucky when we do our cloning experiments and everything will be able to move really fast, or maybe things will move a lot slower than we anticipate. But I'm definitely, in a year, I'll definitely still be working on this project and also continuing my undergraduate studies. So I guess that's the thing, is we're both still students in college at the same time. So trying to balance classes with the research, with all the other things that are going on in college. But it's definitely an exciting time. And we're having a lot of fun while we're at it. I also I wanted to mention briefly that none of this would have been possible in the slightest without our whole iGEM team and all of our mentors and supporters throughout the process, which we already talked about a little bit, but I want to give another special
Please.
shout out to our iGEM team. We were a group of eight working together over the past year, and over the past summer we were working full time, and we also had some really, really stellar and supportive mentors who guided us along the way and are continuing to guide us today. So
awesome.
Yeah, would have not been possible in the slightest without all of their support.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work, I hear. Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, any of then final thought that you want to make sure that we hit all the right things about this, you know, everything that you wanted to tell the people that are listening or watching to make sure that they know, you know, what's everything about this project, everything about what you're doing. Is there anything that we missed, I guess?
I just wanted to mention, if you're an FSHD patient watching this, this seems to be kind of the common theme of this discussion, but be hopeful. There is so much on the horizon. I know that some days are much harder than others. Some days you feel like this disease is controlling you, and that we're losing time, and that we don't have time to lose, which is true. We don't have time to lose, but the scientific community is moving at breakneck speed relatively to many other fields. And I think that's largely driven by you and by the whole community that has continued to advocate and stand up for the community to make sure that scientists and regulators know what this disease does and how it affects us, and why it's so important and urgent that we get a treatment. And so, you know, stand up, whether physically or emotionally,
right, right,
and you know, get angry, raise your voice, and most importantly, you know, don't lose hope in your heart, because I think hope is really the thing that's been driving me over the past couple of years, to stand up for myself and to take control of the disease that once controlled me. So
nice. Wow, well said. As usual. Well said, Eloise. Well, thank you both for joining us and taking some time to talk about this project. It's all over the FSHD Society's website. So those that want to learn more about it, is there anything else that you want to plug if people want to kind of follow what you guys are doing? Anywhere they can do that? No, maybe? Not sure.
We've been you know, hopping onto some Zooms and talking about it.
Great.
So definitely check out those talks on YouTube if you want to learn more. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that we'll continue to be in touch and share updates.
Oh, yeah.
There are also a lot of while we're talking about the FSHD Society's YouTube, you know, all of Tim's shows are up on there, and that's a plug for you right there.
That's really good. Thank you.
And also a lot of the community gatherings are up on there too if you want to learn more. So
well done. Nice plug. Well done. Well done.
Thank you so much again for having us and letting us speak about our projects.
Absolutely. It was a blast. Yeah, we'll definitely have you guys on again, because I know there's gonna be more updates, I'm sure. And hopefully they'll all be positive. I'm sure they will. So we appreciate everything you guys are doing. Thanks for putting some more hope into this path for a treatment. We really appreciate that. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I've got some exciting news for you from the FSHD community. If you've ever felt the unpredictability of FSHD or wish there was more accurate research and information out there, and I know you have, then listen up. I'm thrilled to tell you about Better Life FSHD, a groundbreaking new research platform from the FSHD Society that's changing the game for those of us living with FSHD. Better Life is your one-stop hub for tracking symptoms, accessing personalized resources like articles and videos relevant to you. And the best part, as you take surveys and track your symptoms, you provide FSHD researchers with better data to understand this complex, understudied disease. And a better understanding can lead to faster treatments, something every one of us can get behind. So ahead over to betterlifefshd.org and join the study. It only takes a minute to get signed up. Together, we can change the future for everyone affected by FSHD. I've done this. It's a simple process. I challenge you to do the same. Again, that's betterlifefshd.org. Now let's get back to the show. What a fantastic conversation with Heloise and Alice. It blows my mind, the science side of FSHD, to the point where I understand the base of DUX4 and what it all means and the breakdown. And I've heard many people describe it, like how they talk about it. But more importantly, I love their knowledge of it or interest in it to turn into a treatment and then have the skills, talent to give this presentation, all the work put into it with their team. Cannot forget that it takes a team, which is one of my takeaways for sure in this episode, is it takes a team. And then to win that 50K is just incredible. So bravo to them. I'm glad they could spend some time to kind of share that process, like how it went. The biggest takeaway for me for sure, though, is, hey, this is something that they are working on treatment. They are working on it for sure. And this is hopefully pushing forward in the right direction. This is one of those times where we want to highlight those things. Don't forget to listen to past episodes, some great interviews out there with some amazing people in our community. They do such a great job coming on the show. If you want to come on the show as well, make sure you reach out to me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. I think I failed to mention that on the front end of the show here. Apologize for that. But that's the email, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Follow the show, like it, share it. Share it beyond the FSHD community would be appreciated. The more people hear these inspiring stories, if it's about a project for a treatment and cure that's going to help get some push in the right direction, or if it's someone that is coping or a caregiver dealing with FSHD, we want to hear from them and then have that story, of course, go out to so many that we believe it can affect in a positive way. To be vulnerable to share your story here, yes, is something that can be tough to work through, but I hope I can help you do that. If you're really inclined to be on the show, trust me, I think it's going to be worth your time to share your story with so many. We've had amazing guests do exactly that. Reach out. Hey, I'd like to talk about this. I'd like to be a guest. And we have planned it, recorded it, and aired it, and you've enjoyed it from there. So please do that. Please do that. So thank you all for listening to another episode here of the FSHD Straight Talk podcast. More to come as we work through the year. Not too far off is World FSHD Day, June 20th. So hope we all celebrate, so to speak, that day as we do that here at the FSHD Society and maybe through the podcast. And so many other great guests are coming down the pipeline here with some great episodes. So keep following the show, keep following the podcast. And thank you again for listening to FSHD Straight Talk.